The scripture today is from 1 Kings chapter 17. It's on page 555 in your pew Bible. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kirith ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elisha said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.'" She went away and did it as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. But a jar of flour was not used up, and a jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on the bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house and gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." This is the word of the Lord. Lord, you know that all this week you have caused the words to fill me now, loop through my mind. So here I am now, and I ask you not only to fill me with your presence, but that we will feel your presence in this place. Amen. Can you Tishbe and Elijah. That's the message today. And as I prepared the message, I had to ask myself that same question. Can I be an Elijah? You know, I'm 80 years old, for crying out loud. I'm too old. I can't connect to the generations below me. So what good am I? I have doubt. Believe it or not, I'm an introvert. And I feel inadequate, unprepared to answer the challenges and questions about God and the Bible. I'm antisocial because of my bad hearing. I can't connect with people as well as I used to or probably as I should. However, I have been nudged by God a few times to step out of my comfort zone. One of those nudges was to do pulpit fill, which is intimidating. I'm sure some of you have felt the nudge from God as well to get out and do something for Him. Have you or can you respond to that nudge? Let's explore that question through a prophet who had doubts as well. Who was Elijah? The Bible says he was a Tishbite from Tishbe. So what? Where is Tishbe? Scholars don't even know where it is or where it was. That doesn't mean so much to us today that he was a Tishbite. He wasn't an alien or a being from another planet, for sure. He was flesh and blood, just like you and me. He doesn't seem to have had a particularly meaningful life before his first reference in the Bible, which I read to you. That account occurs sometime in the 9th century BCE, long before the ministry of Christ and the bestowing of the Holy Spirit on all believers. We know he was a prophet, someone called by God for a special purpose. Like others before him, he was given the Holy Spirit on loan by God to guide him through the missions that God would send him on. In Old Testament days, God sent the Holy Spirit to select people to serve a special purpose. God didn't select extraordinary people to serve him. He used people as they were. Look at Noah, for instance. What was so special about him? We are told that he was a righteous old man when God called him to build an ark to save himself and his family from the flood that God was going to bring to wipe out all of the corruption and evil that was permeating the world at the time. He lived in the desert. He was 100 years old, and what did he know about boat building? But God said, do it, and he did it. Abraham was also a righteous man, but I'm sure there were other righteous men in his time. He was 75 years old when God told him, pick up your belongings, your wife, all of the people who have come to you, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. He didn't know where he was going. He just knew that God was going to see that he got there. He took some varying routes on his own as he went along, like some of us do as well. We kind of divert away from what God wants us to do. But in the end, he got there. Now, how about Moses? He was born a Jew and raised as an Egyptian. The Bible doesn't describe him as a righteous man before his calling, but he was a man who was concerned about the welfare of the Israelites under Pharaoh's tyrannic rule. He was also a stutterer, someone who couldn't communicate effectively with people. That was one of his excuses, his argument for God sending him out to lead his people. Other Old Testament obscure people selected by God and endowed with the Holy Spirit include Saul, King Saul. King Saul was able to conquer his enemies because of the Holy Spirit being with him, sent to him by God. But he's a story in himself because he turned away from God. And when he did, God took the Holy Spirit back. David, young shepherd boy, who was called by God to go up against Goliath, a giant, and with a sling and a stone. And he slayed Goliath. There was Ezekiel, a priest called to be a prophet. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet in Judah. And Isaiah, Joshua was commanded by God to conquer Jericho. And he did that without firing a shot. And there was Jonah. Now, there's a prophet who ran the other way when God wanted him to go to Nineveh and get the people to repent, and wound up in the belly of a whale until God got his attention. If God called you or me to go to northern Iraq, which is where Nineveh was, we might respond in the same way, try to run away. Jonah found out that there's no place to hide from God. All those chosen were ordinary people who God equipped to fulfill his plan for mankind. So what similarities do we find among all of those chosen by God? They were ordinary people. They all felt unworthy to be called by God. They all had a weakness that made them hesitant, and they were filled with doubt. Oh, and they all rebelled from God's calling in some way. So does that resonate with any of you? Resonates with me for sure. So let's get back to the man of the hour. We know Elijah was a bold man. When other prophets were being persecuted by Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, who was the ruler of northern Israel, Elijah confronted the king in his own court and proclaimed that God was going to bring a devastating famine and drought to the land because of the worship of Baal and Asherah, a major Canaanite fertility goddess, by Ahab, his court, and God's chosen people, and that the famine would last until God directed Elijah to declare it to end. So there's a distinction there to remember. Elijah didn't cause the drought to happen. He simply delivered God's message. God caused the drought. Why is God punishing Israel this time? You may recall God's command of the Israelites to smash sacred stones and cut down Asherah poles upon entering the land of Canaan. They were also supposed to annihilate all of the people who were there, the sinful people, get them out of the land. They were also instructed not to intermarry. Many of them ignored that, including King Ahab. God said that foreign women, would continue to worship their gods and would eventually lead to the downfall of their Israelite husbands. Women are always doing that. Remember, Eve did that. And we know that that really did happen. Ahab left the presence of God. That set the stage for fierce confrontations between Elijah and the king. God's calling of the Old Testament prophet always comes in a time of either world or Israelite corruption, Israel turning from God, or God's chosen people needing someone to overcome adversity for them. Turning from God and worshiping demonic gods is the situation that Elijah was sent to confront. Once Elijah delivered God's message to King Ahab, God told him to go from there to a place of safety. The place God sends him to is near the north end of the Jordan Valley. God provides nourishment from a brook nearby and food brought by ravens morning and evening. That is evidence that God provides and cares for those who are doing his work, his servant. When the drought caused the brook to dry up, God sent him to Zarephath, where a widow had already been contacted by God to provide for Elijah. This meeting of Elijah and the widow provided two more opportunities for Elijah to perform miracles in God's name. The widow was in dire straits because of the drought. She had a small amount of flour and very little olive oil. Elijah assured her that God would multiply and provide all of the flour and oil she would need until the drought ended. Like Elijah and all the prophets, she trusted God and obeyed the direction of Elijah. At some point, the widow's son becomes ill and dies. Her faith is shaken, and she blames Elijah for bringing more grief onto her family. God uses the boy's death to demonstrate his awesome power and grace. The boy's life is restored, and Elijah returns him to his mother. That miraculous event convinces the widow that the words coming from Elijah are truly from God. 1 Kings 18 continues the story of Elijah. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. When Ahab saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" And Elijah replied, "I have not made trouble for Israel, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's command and have followed the Baal. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal with you." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the people and the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two options? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." Then Elijah said to them, "Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one of them, and let them cut it to pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood and not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." So the prophets of Baal took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought. Or busy. Or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and needs to be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah prepared the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He built the altar with 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Israel, and had a trench dug around it, deep enough to hold at least 4 gallons of water. He prepared the bowl according to custom and laid it on the altar. Now here comes the amazing part, where God shows his glory to all the people of Israel, including King Ahab. Elijah commanded the altar be doused with 4 large jars of water. After that, he ordered another 4 large jars of water to be poured on the altar. And finally, another 4 large jars of water. There was so much water that it spilled onto the altar and filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. I don't know how intense a fire has to be to burn stone, but it must be like a meteor coming down and just blowing everything away, disintegrating everything. It's unimaginable. When all the people saw that, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." You know, it's sad that so many of the prophets sent by God to his chosen people had to resort to such dramatic miracles to remind them of their covenant relationship with God. Elijah had done everything God directed him to do. Like you and I, he became weak in time of adversity. When Jezebel heard of the miracle, witnessed the return of the rain, and learned that Elijah had put the prophets of Baal to the sword, she burned with anger and warned that Elijah would come under the same fate. In fear for his life, Elijah ran into the wilderness to hide. Note that rather than relying on God's protection, Elijah took it upon himself to find a way to protect himself. Have there been times when you have forgotten the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in you and relied on your own understanding rather than seeking God? How has that worked out? It hasn't worked out well for me. 1 Kings 19 states, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He said, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. But he couldn't hide from God. God knew where he was. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coal and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to the death. And I am the only one. And now they are trying to kill me as well." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. I don't know how God has gotten your attention, whether in a loud voice shaking you silly or by a whisper in the still of the night, but I'm sure he has made an effort to call each of us to do what he created us for, to serve him and further his kingdom here on earth. If you've been roused by his call, did you respond like Elijah? Or did you try to escape like Jonah? Those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior have been endowed with the Holy Spirit and empowered to take on any challenge God requires of us. All we have to do is trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Bob, put that fight up, please. If the shaking that is going on in the world is not moving you to focus on God, Christ, salvation, and eternity, you're missing a huge opportunity. And time is getting short. We're living in times very similar to those of Elijah. God has been pushed aside and replaced by other gods, such as money, pride, toys, busyness, booze, drugs, and other things that promise immediate gratification and security. All those things will pass away, but the promises of God will remain forever. It is so important to listen to God's calling. In closing, I want to come full circle and respond to the message question. Yes, you can be an Elijah. But only if God requires you to do so. The Holy Spirit, dwelling within us, is the power source activated by the still voice of God to be a messenger on his behalf. Simon Peter, in 2 Peter 1, 2021, reminds us that above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word that you have given us today, and we pray that it will resonate with all who are here today, and that the Holy Spirit will be rejuvenated, refreshed, or maybe even instilled in us today. Amen.